Again, family, I'm Felicia and I'm Natty. Let's thank Debbie for her sharing her experience, strength, and hope and looking for love in all the wrong places. Thank you. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker. Her name is Janine from New Jersey area.
I'm an addict called Janine. Yo, a few more people could leave. I'm a little nervous. I first want to thank God for getting me here. I want to thank this committee. Man, I feel like I got to go like this to talk. Can y'all hear me? I'm short. I'm like T-Rex with little short arms and shit. I want to thank this committee for, thank you, boo. Oop, looking for love. How you doing? He don't know my story. How much time you got?
Behave yourself.
This is awesome. I want to thank this committee for, first I want to say shout out to CMD in the house, Camden, New Jersey. And for everybody else, welcome to the newcomers. I love y'all. Welcome to the newcomers. Please keep coming back. Narcotics Anonymous works. And not because I stand here with 6,646 days clean, but because my first 30 days, somebody told me that it worked, and I stayed around long enough to get a belief in my heart that it works. It was in my heart that this program works. I'm a crybaby, because I've been looking for love in all the wrong places. Thanks for being in service, Felicia. She got 242 days, y'all. I came to Narcotics Anonymous February of 1994, and on this journey, I've done everything and picked up everything but a drug. I'm so grateful to be standing in front of you, not suffering from any other disease but the disease of addiction because of my promiscuous behavior. From looking for love in all the wrong places. Anybody single in here?
Yeah.
All the single men raise your hand? Nah.
Wanna take a train ride to Cougar Town?
I gotta get in the mood, you know what I mean? I came here at 33, I turned 50 in September. This is an awesome program. Lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. I came in here and I watched everybody else. Listen, I'm a product of an interracial marriage. My father was Indian and black. I'm so grateful to not be the person I was a year and a half ago. Are you listening to me? Not 18 years ago, a year and a half ago. That God has been so merciful that the only disease I suffer from is the disease of addiction. I came in here in 94, and I ain't gonna stand here and tell you that I wasn't doing shit before I got here. We ain't even going back that far. That's the Stone Ages. We gonna leave it in the Stone Ages. But as a result of that, I came in here, I got clean, and the first thing that woke up other than the wallet was the pussy. I'm sorry, I might get a little graphic. I have no idea what's coming out of my mouth. They told me to talk about me and tell the truth. So that's what I'm here to do. Because the woman that walked in here in February of 94 does not stand before you today. God has saved me from myself. And I ain't had sex in a year and a half. Any taker? No, I'm good. I'm just serious. No, I'm just kidding. So I came here in 94, and I jumped right in service. I jumped right into the program, and I jumped right into a relationship. Oh, that's right. I came in here in a relationship. I jumped into one with somebody in recovery. You know, one is too many, and 1,000 was never enough. I grew up on the what's that old adage that you always keep a spare tire? How about this one? What is it? Something about, this shit is crazy, yo. My head is like, ah! The best way to get over one man is to get under a new one. The lie is dead, y'all, I'm telling you. So I came in here and I got real busy with looking for love in all the wrong places. And as a result of that, with 6 months to a year clean, I could walk in a meeting in the greater Camden area, and it was at least 3 men that I had did. That, and I'm being mild right now. Check this out. That is not a good feeling. So to get through that feeling, what I did was go do one more. One is too many. And I practiced that behavior until one day I woke up in a fetal position and I watched all the women around me in my area getting married and kept saying, "What's wrong with me? She's ugly. What's wrong with me?" I'm keeping it real. Because I don't know about your disease, but mine tells me there is something fucking wrong with you. You got it all and you still can't get a man. Thank you for sharing what you share. My picker ain't broke no more. Check this out. I'm not going for that nonsense that I used to go for 10 years ago. How about this? A year and a half ago. I ain't looking for nobody coming home from the halfway house no more. Not no more.
Halfway house.
No more halfway out. My theory was, damn, he just got home from prison? Oh, girl, let me be the first. I'm going to tear that ass. I'm going to fuck the... They tore my ass up, y'all. Somebody had the nerve to say to me one time, "Yo, what is it with you and men in halfway houses? You ain't see they arms? They guns is up, yo." Thank God I stand before you suffering from one disease. So I saw everybody get married, and I wanted to get married, so, you know, I went. I was always a worker among workers. One of the values that I was taught when I was growing up in my house, because they didn't tell me, damn, I only got 8 minutes left? Cool. They used to tell me, you know, you go out, you work, and you do what you got to do. It was never about love. I never heard "I love you" growing up. I never heard, you know, the things that we needed to hear growing up as a child to build self-esteem so that we didn't have to go out there and look for love in all the wrong places. I never heard those things. So when I turned 18 and took matters into my own hand, I started looking. So by the time that I got to Narcotics Anonymous and put the drug down, I figured, I'm going to get the one that's for me. Got it, all right. March the 3rd, I was divorced a year. Because enough was enough. If you spend 10 days in the hospital from bacterial infections on top of bacterial infections, and justify it with, well, he's my husband. I'm so grateful that I stand before you with no other disease but the disease of addiction. So I stayed around here and I did what I do. We got this dance at 22nd and Chestnut in Philly. Philly in the house. And I was at the dance every week. And every week I had a new boyfriend. He got 30 days. He ready. Somebody said to me one time, man, you willing to travel long distances for that dick, ain't you? Yeah. I had a sponsor say to me, damn, you gonna die if you don't have sex? Yeah. Until one day I woke up in the fetal position because I was tired of feeling what I was feeling on the inside. With 4 years clean, I had done a majority of the city of Camden and parts of Philly. They said the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. You ain't lying about that shit. Let me tell you something. And they say God be like, don't know, not even a dog like a, you know, a bone. They like a little meat on their bone. I got ready for them. Anyway, at 4 years clean, I made a decision. I wanted to stop living the way I was living. But let me tell you about a prayer that is not from the heart. Because you can ask God for a whole lot of stuff. The sixth step talks about, you might be, in the sixth and seventh step talks, we talk about be careful what you pray for. Seventh step says you might want to get on your knees for this. No, bitch, not for that. We still looking for love in all the wrong places. Because in the midst of that prayer of asking God to give me a husband, to make me a woman that was worthy of being married to somebody, it was anybody. There was nothing in particular. He didn't have to have a job. He didn't have to be in recovery, although I thought. He didn't have to be about nothing. Here, I had came around here. I had got my college degree. I was living my dreams. I was doing everything, you talked about it, that I wanted to do that I forgot to do because of drugs. Because in the midst of running around and sleeping around, I did do some positive things. Because y'all told me recovery was an active change. I got that in every other area. Except for love. I think I might got it now. Easy does it one day at a time. I'm still working on it. So I prayed for all of that. And I watched everybody around me in the fellowship in Camden getting married. And I said, when's my turn, God? And this dude walks into my second job. I worked for an organization that works with people coming out of prison. Prison. And when he walked in, he had guns like this, and he was my flavor, dark chocolate. Don't worry, I'm so thirsty right now, I'll take any flavor. Nah, but seriously, so in he walked. And I thought God sent him. I met, they say we buy our destruction a pill at a time, a bag at a time, or a man at a time. I met him on June the 8th of 1999. And the reason I'll never forget that day is because since that day, up until March the 3rd, I had been in bondage. Because I continued looking for love in all the wrong places. Prior to getting to that relationship and that marriage, I probably had enough sex to last me for the next 20 years. Although I'm not gonna work on that parameter, I just. So anyway, I'm gonna try to speed this up. I met him on June the 8th. I justified the relationship. He was one of my clients. I justified the relationship with he'll be out the program in 3 months. I'm gonna wait till then to fuck him. Cause then it'll be legal. Couldn't wait till September 8th. The day he got out the program, he used. But I was so caught up in the grip because I didn't wait till September 8th. I wait till August 8th. I gave him 2 months. I didn't give him the 3 month rule. I gave him the 2 month rule. I said, well, you did good, girl. Wasn't on the first date. That's different. Wasn't on the first week. And he said all the right shit, and he smelled good, and he looked good, and he talked good, and his breath didn't stink because he kept gum in his mouth, and he was sexy, and he had them thick, suckable lips and all that shit, and I was caught up in the grip before the sex. So you know, once the sex, it was a wrap. He's the one. Thank you, God. And my life became hell. But I didn't realize it. Because he was fine. And I suffer from low self-esteem. And I'm overweight. And I don't think I'm pretty. And I think I need to be grateful just to have whatever the fuck I can get. So I'm going to take it. Because on his good days, he did bring me flowers. What day was that, bitch? He didn't have nothing. I had everything. Like an old comedian said, he did me real, real good. So I gave him the keys without a driver's license. Because I suffer from such low self-esteem and such self-hatred that I would have been willing to do just about anything just to have one. I am so grateful to be delivered from that today. And it ain't been easy. Because after all those years of the struggle, I put him down and I said, I'm going to leave him down and that's it. And I held on to the marriage, but I went out and did me, and I picked up the very same thing with a different face. And he ain't dark chocolate. He was caramel. There's the difference. Looking for love from... Listen, this motherfucker was in a halfway house coming home from a murder charge. You hear me? But I'm going to change him with the power of the puss. Because I suffer from such low self-esteem and self-hatred and self-loathing that I'd be willing to do just about anything for somebody to say, you're beautiful. And I love you. I am beautiful. I'm a fabulous catch. And I might not have to get on my knees for that one. So when I left the marriage, well, the marriage left me. Let me keep it real. Because I tried to, listen, I tried to bargain with the disease. Because I did not want to feel the pain of withdrawal. because I did not like who I was. So let me bargain with you. Listen, boo. Listen. Go and do you, boo. Just don't bring nothing back. Right? And don't stay out all night. I'll take care of the bills. I'm telling you the truth. What the disease will tell you that you ain't shit and you ain't never gonna be shit. How I listen to that. I got you, boo. I got you. Ain't not near no other person ever coming up off of my back ever again in life. If you ain't got what I got or getting what I'm getting, holla. Them days is long gone. Self-preservation, boo. God bless the child that got their own. It might have took me some years, but I'm living beyond my wildest dreams, and it ain't got nothing to do with that material stuff. That's just the extra blessing when you learn how to love you and be good to you and stop looking for something on the outside to do what only God can do on the inside. Being somebody's option when you should be their priority. Living in sin, self-inflicted nonsense. So, I went about a year out of the marriage, still separated, but divorced. I'm going to wrap this up with this one. And I was at my job, and I walked into the lobby, and this guy, really, really cute. God damn, he was cute. Yeah, I don't know if y'all can identify, anybody can identify with you walk in the room, and somebody's so fucking fine, you just go, oh, my God. Yeah, you! That's it! There he is! Hey, look, the wrong places can be in the meeting, too, boo. So in he walked, 17 years in prison for murder, but all I saw was those pearly whites and that gold tooth on the front, because I was still suffering on the inside. Because in spite of coming to meetings in my area and going everywhere and sharing and getting honest and telling about how I felt, I was still there. Listen, what you doing, as my friend would say, when ain't nobody watching? It's real good to sound good, but how you living? Because I ain't got an answer to none of you motherfuckers. My concern is not what you think any longer. My concern is how I feel when I lay my head down. I'm tired of taking sleeping pills to go to sleep because I done did myself dirty. Because I can't get no rest in my mind because I done did me dirty and sly. Nah. Nuh-uh. To thine own self be true. Ain't that what they say? So he walked up and he smiled and how you doing? And one thing led to another and he said, I'll call you when I get back to my house. I didn't know it was a motherfucking halfway house. Until he called and check this is fucked up. Until he called and I recognized the phone number. That's some shit for your ass, boy. And that was the beginning of the spiritual awakening ass whooping that I got to make me who I am today. So like that song Estelle says, thank you. Thank you for making me a woman. Sometimes we have to become beaten before we become willing. At 50 years old, I will no longer tolerate the nonsense that I've tolerated before. I ain't sitting around waiting on nobody. I ain't picking nobody. So if I flirt with you, step off. Because I still suffer from a disease that says, what if? Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Oh, hell. Nah, ain't nothing. Listen, I'm down here with my friends, but I'm in a room by myself. Yeah, that's not an advertisement. I'm actually a little skitzing right now because I watched that show ID TV. I watched too much fucking murder mystery around this bitch. I'm in my room last night like this. By myself, scared to go to my car to get the water. I ain't going out there. So I picked him up and started this hot and heavy romance on borrow time. You know, because he only got to come out between certain hours. From 9 to 9, bitch, get it in. I laugh about that stuff, but a year and a half ago, it wasn't nothing fucking funny. But I can laugh today when you make a decision and you ask God for help in that decision. He will do for you what you can't do, not what you won't do. I ain't talking out the side of my neck. I decided I did not want to live like that no more. I'm tired of eating myself into a stupor or shopping until I max the credit cards out because I don't want to deal with the low self-esteem and the self-loathing and the self-hatred. So I picked him up a year in a relationship by way of a conversation. He just gently told me that he was engaged to be married to somebody else. And I said, okay, I'm going to fuck him into a stupor. He's going to leave her too. Still looking for love in all the wrong places. Till one day, I woke up and I said, you know what? You don't want nobody to do it to you because it was done to me. We talk about a thing around here called reciprocity. So in the spirit of reciprocity, I had already done enough damage by screwing somebody else's fiance, okay? They say, stop asking God for something that you're not. I had to say, okay, because I'm just as bad as him. Because I'm sleeping with you and you belong to somebody else. Keep your motherfucking hands off of stuff that don't belong to you. That was the hardest thing that was almost as hard as putting down the fucking crack. Because I thought that this guy, you know, every relationship, this is what I did. I would do a little something different in the next one. Because obviously that didn't work because I wasn't doing something right. So let me get in this one. Okay, so this time we're going to do it this way. Because the last time we did it that way. That shit don't work. What I found out, if God ain't it, it ain't going to work anyway. And if it's somebody else's property, I'm not down with OPP. So, I finally made a decision to leave it alone, and that was the hardest decision that I had to make. Because now, almost 18 years later, it left me with one thing to do, and that was to deal with myself. That was to get into the mirror. That was to get into the step work. That was to allow my sponsor to sponsor me. That was to make meetings. That was to talk to my network and tell y'all who I really am. Not that bullshit. Yeah, you see what I drive? Oh, my hair's fabulous. Yes. Not that. But when I look in the mirror, I don't see what you see. I see a fat, ugly, so-and-so-and-so-and-so, and I had to get all of that off for me. And the day that I got freedom from that was the day that I got free and said, I am worthy. I am worthy of the one that's single, that ain't living at home with a mama, that got a job, that ain't trying to move into my new house. I'm gonna share this in close. They say when you got ask God for help in here to get better with some things, he will bring you events. I'm not gonna call them situations. Because we grow from events in our lives. Recovery is a process, not an event. But the things we go through are events. They're parts that make us who we are. They're things that we can add to our obituary. In the process of going through dealing with being by myself and stop looking for love in all the wrong places, one of my I nevers came true because I wasn't dealing with my feelings. But as a result of that, the commitment that I made to God, this situation, and what happened was, I got arrested. I'm going to share this story real quick. I got arrested and never been arrested before in my life, not even an act of addiction. And I got arrested and was charged with a third degree aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. I know I look so sweet and innocent, don't I? And I'm only sharing this because when you don't deal with your feelings will deal with you. Because I tried to look for love in any place I could find it, but it wasn't happening because God said, you asked me for help, I'm going to give you help. So now I'm going to misdirect that. And I tried to beat up my mother's neighbor, and I whooped that ass, and the cops came, and they arrested me. Because around here in these parts, you hit somebody, you can get arrested. I didn't know that. And what's worse is if you pick something up and hit them with it, you can really get arrested. I didn't know that. Hey, Joe, I didn't know that. So as a result of going through the motions and dealing with learning how to love myself, I feel like I've triumphed a whole lot of areas. I went to court. It was downgraded. And the dude whose ass I whooped stood up for me and asked the judge to show leniency on me. Now, I ain't no fighter. My knees is messed up. I can barely walk. I don't even think I can get him up to do anything, for real, for real. But you know that, look, that's a lie. But as a result of that, I had to learn how to grow up. I had to learn how to love who I am, be all right with what God has given me. And I'm not talking about the material things. I'm talking about this temple that everybody, any race, creed, religion, lack of religion, is worthy of love. That I am lovable, I am capable of loving, and worthy of being loved. And it don't have to come with conditions. When you stay in position, even in your worst days, God will bring you a blessing. At 50 years old, I'm a homeowner. As a result of just trying to get out the way and allow God to do what he does for me. Because I wanted to fight. Because I wanted to whoop somebody's ass. I had to buy a house, y'all. And get my mother out of where she was living. But as a result of all that, I have been given a chance to serve God in a different way, to show me that when love is there and when it's ready for me, and look, that it will come. That it's coming. So listen, I want to tell y'all to thank y'all for allowing me to come and tell the truth. And I love y'all. Thanks for letting me share.